Welcome back to Horizons. I'm in conversation with Dominican Gregory Carroll. You've moved from Tala back to Dominic Street with some responsibility for students. What did you like about that?
I suppose I was surprised because I had already done, which I had forgot to mention, I'd already done 7 years as novice master in the West Indies. So I was being asked to go back into formation, looking after people in formation. It was something new, so it was quite challenging.
It's a very big responsibility.
It is, yeah.
Training people
into
the priesthood.
Did
you feel well equipped for that?
Well, I had done the year's course, which, you know, sort of, I suppose, set me up in it, put it that way, you know. So it was daunting, okay. It's very challenging, and you're very, you know, you're responsible for these young men to the order that has accepted them, you know. But very fulfilling too, very fulfilling. Yeah.
So you were in Dominic Street,
yeah,
in the centre of Dublin.
Yeah.
Very central.
Very central, right in the heart of the city.
What was that like?
It took getting used to it. First of all, sirens and ambulances and that, you couldn't sleep at night because of, and then you get used to it. Yeah, again, it was challenges were something similar, you know, to what they were out in Tala, and yet different because you were in the centre of the city. You were seeing drug addicts, you were seeing syringes, things like that lying around, thrown in over our railings and stuff. I was there then, I did a 4-year term. At the end of that 4 years then, there was a new provincial elected and he asked me to move back to Tala as the provincial bursar, so I took over overseeing the finances. It was mainly, I suppose, administration, but it allowed me time to do retreats and continue my involvement with Marriage and Countering. And then I was reappointed at the end of the 4 years for a second 4 years. I think it was about 2 years into my second term when I was elected prior in Dominic Street in St. Saviour's. So I ended up back in the heart of the city. And I'd been with my sister in Dublin only a couple of months before that. And I said, I missed the city. I got used to living in the city.
Back in it again. You're back in
it. And she said, be careful what you wish for. And I ended back up there as not just superior of the community, but also as parish priest. You know, we have a parish there. And while I was in my third year, about 2.5 years as prior, when I was elected provincial. So I was back in Tala again.
What do you think of vocations today and low numbers?
Well, I suppose with the drop in numbers, you know, people practicing their faith and attending church, that's bound to happen, you know. But part of it too is probably your young people. I often say to parents, you know, and grandparents, if you have young men, have you spoken to them about a vocation? My vocation came about when the family prayed, the family would be blessed with a vocation. And sometimes we have young men joining, you know, the order, and they're not getting that much support, maybe from their friends or, you know, or from maybe even family at times.
It's a different world.
It's a different world, yeah. People are sort of maybe afraid, you know, what they're letting themselves in for, maybe. It's a very fulfilling life, you know. I'm in my 51st year as a priest. I don't know where those years have gone. I've been very enriched by my priesthood, mainly through the experiences I've had, you know. Also through the people, the wonderful people I've met down the years who've enriched my life and challenged me and love me.
And Father Gregory, do you feel that you live in a cocoon or do you feel very exposed to today's world and how different it is?
No, I suppose it comes down to choice again. You know, you could sort of decide to sort of hide in the priory, or you can get out and about and talk to people and meet people. So it's from the time I was a young friar, I've always stood outside the church on a Sunday and said hello to people. And some people would just walk by, some people say hello, some people would stop and talk. That's how you get to know people and they get to know you.
When you said there earlier, you know, your parents prayed for a vocation in the family. But it's a very different world today.
Oh, sure.
How do you explain that or how do you weigh that up? You know, the difference in the climate around these things.
Back in my time when we entered, most of us would have entered straight from secondary school. Maybe a couple might have gone working or might have gone to university. Where nowadays you find that people are coming, you know, that are entering religious life, both male and female. And even say the diocesan priesthood, maybe they've been to college and they've worked for a few years. Many will say they left the church, you know, stopped practicing their faith for a long time, a number of years, and then came back. They all have different stories. So they're coming from a different world. And that's what you were always very conscious of as a formator as well, you know. Even though when I was novice master, I was only in my late 30s, early 40s. When I was student master, I would have been in my 50s, probably. But you're very conscious of the young people you were helping to form were coming from a totally different world. The world was changing all the time.
Do you think it's better that it's more mature students that come along for priesthood?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I think it's important that people have an experience of the world before they enter religious life, so they know, I suppose, know where they're coming from, but also know where they're going to be ministering as well, you know, even though it'll change probably in their period of formation. You know, because I remember my own group saying to me one day, we were chatting, and he said to me, you know, you have a choice when you enter religious life. You either grasp the opportunities you're given and mature and be enriched by that, or you can choose not to and sort of just be a religious and saying your prayers and just living within the community, you know, and not really growing up.
We'll take a piece of music now, Father Gregory. Jennifer McCabe, an Ephesian prayer.
May the Lord our God bless you with love. May the Lord our God fill you with peace. May he lead you and guide you. May he love you with compassion. May God bless you and hold you. May he always live in you. From the wealth of his glory, may you have power through his Spirit to be strong within yourselves and to build your lives on love. May the Lord our God bless you with love. May the Lord our God fill you.
Can I ask you, Father Gregory, about the difference between being a Dominican and being a diocesan priest? Because they seem quite separate.
As a Dominican or any religious or as a Franciscan or Capuchin, you're living in a community. In Holy Cross we live, there's six of us assigned, but the two senior men are unfortunately, because of health reasons, are in the Fatima home. So there's four of us living there, they know. So we pray together, we eat together, we minister together. And you have your privacy as well. So if you need space, you can go to the oratory or go to your own room, your own bedroom, you know, which is also your study. But, you know, the companions there, you know, if you need to talk to somebody or talk something out or maybe get advice about something. Whereas it seems to me, looking with the diocesan, you know, they're very much on their own. Okay, here in St. John's, they live in the same building. I know that they dine together, you know, dining every day. But it must be, say, for a priest on his own in sort of a country parish or something, it must be lonely at times, you know.
Can be difficult.
Difficult, yeah.
Would you prefer to see closer links between the diocese and a religious order, like the Dominicans?
I think that's happening, you know. certainly I would be very conscious of the welcome I would get from the priests in St. John's, you know, or say in St. Brendan's, or some of them that are around the diocese that I've met, which that wasn't in the past. They know, I suppose, there was always a suspicion of religious. I remember when I was stationed in Cork, going up to a funeral in the North Chapel, which is the cathedral. And if you know Cork, you know the Catholic cathedral is known as the North Chapel. And this priest afterwards said to me, he said, "I don't seem to recognise you." He said, "What's your name?" And he said, "No, I don't recognise that name." And then he said, "No, I can't place you in the diocese." I said, "No, I'm a Dominican." And he said, "Oh, Roman Catholic priest." And he turned his back and walked away.
Well, you meet unusual people.
But anywhere I've been, you know, it was the same. When I came home and I was in Drogheda, I had good relationships with the, you know, and they were friends. I counted them friends, you know. Some of them came and stayed with me afterwards when I moved to other places. The same when I was in Talla. I did a funeral of a friend in Malahide Parish recently, and the parish priest there, we hadn't seen each other since we were young priests in Talla back in the 70s, you know.
Father Gregory, looking at 800 years of Dominicans, where do you think the energy should be put now, today, 2024?
As Dominicans? Well, one thing we've had to do in the last number of years, when I entered, there was 435 in the province. I was provincial for 9 years. And we had about, I think maximum was 145.
Did they all leave because you were there?
Yeah, that's exactly. How did you guess? So the numbers have gone. Yeah, and yet we were trying to do a lot of things that we had been doing when we had over 400 people, you know. So unfortunately, we had to withdraw from a number of places. And that, it's sad for the people. It's very sad for us. You know, we withdrew from Drogheda. I had been prior in Drogheda for 4.5 years. So that was very painful. And other places, we withdrew from Athy, which is my own home county. I'd never lived in Athy, but I knew the priory very well, and, you know, and the people from going there and that. So anywhere you withdraw from. But you can't keep everywhere open, so you have to make these really tough decisions. I remember when Father Timothy Ratcliffe, who's an English Dominican, when he was Master of the Order, I was prior in Tal at the time, and we were chatting. And he was saying to me, I was sort of saying, maybe look, we're looking at having to withdraw from places. And he said to me, but it's not about, well, he said to me, because in those days we tended to say about closing places. But remember, he kept saying, no, you're not, you're withdrawing, you know, because you're looking to see where the green shoots are.
So where are the green shoots today?
I suppose that's a question we're sort of asking, or we're looking at ourselves at present. You know, I suppose you're looking, when you decide to withdraw from somewhere, you look at sort of maybe location, and you sort of say, we withdrew from Drogheda because we had a house in Donnelly Street, and we had a house in Dundalk, and we had one house north of the border, only one house north in, up in Newry. You know, you're sort of saying, you know, say a place like Talla, we got this big priory, you know, had over 100 in the community at one time, so we're 20, 25 in the community now. What are we doing with this big place? Do we withdraw from Talla? And you're sort of saying, no, there's a lot of ministry there, there's a lot of green shoots there, you know. So you're looking for your green shoots. You're also looking at the young men who are entering as well, and what their abilities are, or maybe what their interests are as well. That'll dictate who going forward. I remember 2-3 days before my ordination, we used to, dining was very formal because you lined up outside the refectory, but he went in junior first. Prior went in last, and then at the end, when grace was chanted at the end of the meal, it was the reverse. The prior went out, so it was the juniors, and they were the last out. And when I came out, a Dominican, originally from not too far from here, one of the senior men in the province, gave me the finger, you see. And I said, "Oh Lord, what have I done?"
Called you over, like.
Yeah. And he said to me, "I want to say something to you that probably nobody's had the courage to say it to you, but I think you should be told." And he just said to me, "Your talents have been recognised." So he said, "Prepare yourself for a life of administration."
How did you feel that being said to you?
I'm sort of dumbfounded in a sense, you know. No, I knew I had, because of things I'd been given to do it as a student, that I had those capabilities, if you like. So I suppose I wasn't too surprised when I ended up as bursar in communities, as provincial bursar. You know, I've been prior and superior in a number of communities. When I was finishing as provincial, some of the brothers were joking me and said, "What are you going to do next? You've done everything in the province." The only thing I hadn't done, I hadn't been regional studies, I hadn't looked after the study courses, you know, but that won't happen anyway.
I'm celebrating 800 years of the Dominicans in Ireland by following Father Gregory's journey over half a century. Come back to us after this short break.